What is up, everybody? It's Friday night, and Friday night means the return and the new improved Indie Alley, where we mix independent wrestling and independent comics. We've been gone for a couple weeks, recharging the batteries. Huh, Fred? Getting a good rest in?
Yeah, taking care of some family business, things like that. By family business, it's no mafia shit. Don't just make that stuff
up. Don't make assumptions. You know,
yeah, that's... Then you make it...
Never mind. So, yeah, we are back and we have a lot of exciting news. We took 2 weeks off. Shout out to both Chris and Johnny, members of the Indie Alley family, who dropped a Nerds in the Underground podcast the first week. And they actually recorded one for the second week. But with our move to our new home that we're going to get into a minute, we had kind of held it back. But you should see that drop in sometime later in the week, maybe Wednesday or Thursday. So they have a fresh new show as well. But the big news is we are now members of the Nerdy Legion, Fred.
Hell yeah. There's no better place to be, man. I've listened to Martin, Ronnie, all the other guys' podcasts for like at least, I would say, 2 years.
Wow.
And man, this is a great, is this what heaven feels like, Andrew?
I think so, but I have nothing to compare it to. So to take your word for it. But yeah, we are members of the Nerdy Legion. So what does that mean for you, our loyal listeners? Nothing changes. You are subscribed to us wherever you subscribe to us, wherever you hear your podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, whatever. The podcast will be there when you turn it on. To all our new listeners, because we've joined this massive, incredible network, welcome to our show. As I said, we're independent wrestling and independent comics. Fred, you want to tell them a little bit about our kind of philosophy on our indie stuff?
By independent comics, we mean anything that isn't, okay, like, I don't want, like, the hipsters to come after us and say, like, oh, you're not independent enough, you're not doing Kickstarters, things like that. By independent comics, we're talking about anything that isn't DC or Marvel. So we could cover, like, if Vertigo was still around, we could talk about them. We could tell, you know, Aftershock, even Valiant, because we get down with Valiant, too. But we know Martin has a podcast with that, so we'll probably leave that alone.
Archie Comics.
Yes. And then for independent, like, wrestling, what we consider independent wrestling here is anything that isn't WWE.
Yeah, it's the spirit of the wrestling. Like, AEW is obviously a multimillionaire is behind it. A billionaire, not millionaire. But they still have that indie feel, that indie spirit, and it doesn't have that corporate WWE thing. And sometimes we'll even talk NXT. So, you know, we cheat a little. But that's our philosophy about our comics. Yeah. But yeah, you can follow us now at nerdylegion.com /podcast/ Indie Alley. Or you can just go to www.nerdylegion. Because what's cool about that is if you subscribe, you will get to meet and subscribe to all the other podcasts that are part of the network. There's over 20 podcasts, I believe. There's stuff like the Bat Pod, an Aftershock Central comic podcast, Comic Talk, excuse me. There's the actual flagship, the Nerdy Legion. So there's all these other podcasts that you want to explore and check out. And yeah, just have a good time.
Yeah, it's tons of entertainment, tons of content to take in for you right there.
Yeah, so check it out. Subscribe, always subscribe. Maybe leave a 5-star comment. And speaking of 5-star comments, I want to shout out Dr. Joel Gilmore. It's been a few weeks since he dropped that, but we've been gone. But he dropped us a nice 5-star comment, Fred.
Hell yeah. Big Joe coming through with a 5-star.
A 5-star. Does that mean you have to give Joey like video game time or something?
No, I think the 5-star means that Joey gets like a 5-star frog splash when we're done with this shit.
Wow. Okay. All right. And then to the anonymous person who also left us a 5-star but didn't leave a comment. We don't know who you are. Thank you, Mr. Anonymous.
Yeah.
Or Mrs. Anonymous.
Yeah.
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 For the hookup. We'll take it. Yeah. Keep them coming. Joey needs to have his video game time. So. All right. Well, unless there's anything else, any other news, something you wanted to share, Fred, we can jump right into the comics.
I think we should get into it. We might be a little rusty after these almost 3 weeks off.
I'm going to stutter and mispronounce a lot of names. That's something I do, folks. I apologize in advance. Here we go. And the first comic of the day is The Mall Number One. Here in the heartland of the U.S. of A., the world has ended. But worry not, because the mall still stands, and within the walls of this consumeristic mecca lies a new world order. Box store tribes and name brand gangs, all vying for limited space and resources. So actually, you can worry. Especially for poor Andre Reed, who after the assassination of a tribal leader has to navigate the Mad Haven to prove his innocence and prevent the end of the world again. Written by Michael Moresi and Gary Duberman. Art by Zach Hartong. Colors by Addison Duke, lettered by Jim Campbell, published by Vault, The Mall.
Okay, I know, like, I grew up in the 80s and 90s. I spent a lot of time at the mall as a kid. I enjoyed the mall. It was a good time to hang out. I never once thought that the end of the world, like, we could be spending time at a mall. this book, though, this first issue right here, I kind of wonder about a few things, like, it's the end of the world, but we still have remnants of consumerism and, a capitalist society, you know, what's left of it is still there. And what I mean by that is, in this book, there's some gang stuff, and, you know, we do cover, like, wrestling, so I would say, you know, a gang's like a faction. So there's a couple factions in this book. You have, like, basically what it is the Foot Locker faction versus the Hot Topic faction. Yeah. And there's a dividing point at the fountain of the mall. Yes. So that's where their turf lies. And there's a struggle with Andre. In the beginning, you know, this book is kind of like Andre is being... It's a lot of chasing of Andre. Whether it's a... Delman Gold's daughter, and she's in her gang of lackeys, her weirdos, whatever's going on there. I enjoyed this book. I'm wearing the Vault hat right now, so, you know, you see where my allegiance is with the publishing company. I really enjoyed the book. I really enjoyed that, like, I didn't know that Gary Dauberman, like, co-wrote it at first when I was reading it. But after a while, like, I went back and looked at it, and I was like, wait a second, isn't this the guy that wrote, like, the Conjuring universe, and he also, I think he wrote scripts for it, maybe the first one or the second one, I can't remember right offhand, but he's into the horror stuff, so this stuff might get real. How do you feel about this, Andrew?
Yeah, probably will. Well, the first thing you reminded me, I'm going to date myself, an old movie called The Warriors. Remember The Warriors, how that gang has to fight its way back? To Coney Island or where, I can't remember where it is they're from, but that's, even though it's a smaller scale, they're in the mall, you have these crazy gangs, and like you said, the Foot Locker gang, you know, made me think of that, you know, the people that live in the Foot Locker that dress in the Foot Locker shirts. And I also grew up in the mall era. Picture for people who didn't, Stranger Things, how the mall really is in the newest Stranger Things, how the mall really is that mecca that everybody goes to, and so many things go down, and it was really cool. I liked the factions. I liked the way they divided it. They said the main character was from the Gacy family, and they were kind of like upper class. Do you think it's a play on Macy's?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe
so. It's like the high-end stores? That's where they live? Is it
you know what? I didn't even really think of it like that, but now that you mention it, it probably is, because he was like the rich kid. Like, he was like, my dad can help you out or something like that, you know?
Uh-huh. So they're in the really cool box store that has everything versus one of the little stores. Yeah, it's kind of neat. You have this society of people that probably barter and trade based on the types of stores they live in.
they're probably trading like polo t-shirts. Like trading like polo cologne and stuff
for a hot two Hot Topic shirts,
like two AEW shirts from Hot Topic.
Young Bucks. But yeah, I think it was really cool. The art was awesome. Like I said, being older, to me it's not necessarily an original story. I immediately thought of The Warriors, but I like it and I'm excited to see where it goes, and I think they can do a lot of fun things with it. And it ended in a way that they're going to probably go the horror route that you were talking about. They're kind of going under the mall. And what could possibly be under the mall might be some real crazy, like cannibals or something weird like that, or mutant people, or who knows.
Yeah, it could be. Or like you mentioned, Stranger Things, it could be Russians.
Oh. Yeah, it could be Russians. The Russians under the mall. Like, but yeah, this book was awesome. The art is amazing. Hart Chong, I don't know him. I don't know anything else that he's done.
I think I had that same question. I was wondering if this was his first book. I mean, it's definitely the first book that I've ever seen, like, drawn by him, so.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, like, I really liked, like, his, you know, I'm a big facial expression guy, so, like, he drew plenty of, like, emotion in faces, like, whether it was, like, rage or people showing anguish, things like that. I was, like, I was totally into a lot of his art, especially with, like, the browns and the, like, kind of red palette colors, too. I dig it, like, I'm liking everything Vault's doing right now, actually.
Yeah, it was a great-looking book. I liked the fashion. Felt 80s. It felt like they were dressed in clothes from the mall. Attention to that detail. So a lot of great character development from the artist's point of view to make some interesting characters that don't necessarily have dialogue yet. But yeah, good book.
I have a question for you. Like when Andre was talking to the kid with the chicken stuff on, did you ever have like a chicken place in your mall?
Yeah, but I don't think they had to wear that weird chicken hat. I'm trying to think back. I've seen that in different TV movie shows over the years where they make the guy wear it, like Fast Times. He has to wear the chicken thing, I think. And he has to wear the pirate suit and different things like that when he works at the fast food places. Yeah, I don't recall anyone having to wear something weird like that. But yeah, they had all kinds of places. The food court used to be a lot more interesting than it is now. Now it's all corporate.
yeah. Like I don't even remember. Like, maybe we had like a Sparrow's or something, but I don't remember anything else, or like a pretzel place. But that's about it. And like our mall, we still have a mall right here. And it's got a banging food court. Actually,
oh nice,
they got like something from everywhere.
Yeah, our malls here are kind of blah. They're not like they were. One of them is the same mall, but it's not what it was. It used to be the place to be. Oh, well. Yeah. The death of the mall.
Just yeah, you're like missing out, kids.
Yeah. All right, on that note, we're going to move on to the next comic book. The next one is Tommy Gunn's Wizards number 1. Elliot Ness and his team of untouchables work overtime taking on dangerous criminals that hide in the seedy underbelly of the 1930s Chicago. Except in this world, Al Capone isn't dealing in alcohol, but in magic, with Lick, a drug that grants magical powers to anyone who ingests it. Mobsters become wizards, ordinary men become monsters, and darker secrets than Ness can imagine lie in the heart of it all. Written by Christian Ward, artist Sammy Cavella, colors by Christian Ward and D. Cuniff, letters by Hassan Oleman Aluhu. Cover by Christian Ward, and a variant cover by Declan Shalvey. Published by Dark Horse, Tommy Gunn Wizards.
Okay, this book right here is my jam. I mean, we're talking about the La Cosa Nostra. Uncle Al is, you know, the Elliot Ness is chasing Uncle Al. And you kind of get like an Untouchables feel with this book a lot. This book is all like Elliot Ness is trying to stop the efforts of Al Capone of selling and distributing magic. And then the book magic is delivered and used through like a drug compound called Lick. What I seem to get from it is like people used to use it for like minor tasks and stuff, but then they kind of like abused it. And bad things happen if you overused it. So I think that's why, like, the prohibition has happened with the magic. But I never expected Christian Ward to write a book, man. Because, like, his art is amazing. Like, it was an Invisible Kingdom, Bolt, things like that. And
yep.
To get, like, a book like this, man, it's really good. And then you have Sammy on the art. Who, if you ever read, like, Abbott, man, I love looking like it at his art of like 1930s Chicago art. Yeah. I mean, I'm really enjoying it. How do you feel about this book, Andrew?
I just thought of something when you said that. That's right. Sammy Covella did Abbott. I didn't realize that. So do you think, what's the writer of Black Bolt and Miles right now? Do you think he introduced them? Because he's worked with both of them. Yes. Salahim.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe, because, yeah, Ward did the art for Black Bolt. That's right.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. I didn't think of that. But, yeah, I love this book. This is right up my alley. We've kind of talked about this. Another book that I'm reading I enjoy is Mary Shelley's The Monster Hunter. I like when in movies and in comics or books they do historical fiction, because this is fiction, of course, but you're using the story of Elliot Ness and his Untouchables to tell this story of Capone in Chicago back during Prohibition, but with a different spin on it, using the magic. And so it has all the fun stuff that you would have from that era, the Tommy guns, the cops doing what they have to do to get the answers from the mobsters, you know, the speakeasies and all the stuff that goes down with that. And then you have this weird magic, and we have like this female, I guess she's like a witch or a sorceress or something. We haven't been quite explained who she is. And then the last panel, which was a mind blower, I'm not going to give that one away. It's really cool. And I like these kind of books a lot. And it really does feel like The Untouchables. So I don't know if they're getting their idea from The Untouchables or because The Untouchables got its idea from actual history, that they're also, this is their take on actual history. But it's really cool.
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, this is coming from, okay, for the Nerdy Legion listeners that may happen to listen to us right now, I do not like magic. So you get me when you put, like, Alphonse Capone in a book and he's, you know, distributing magic, okay, then I'm more apt to read it because it's mafia. I mean, that's my type of stuff. I like crime noir writing, so mm-hmm. I'm into this. So I guess I would say I like magic if it's used in ways that I, you know,
yeah, you
I
just don't like it. Hobbits and Gandalf and that kind
no,
of stuff.
No, I do not. I had no hobbits for
and
me.
No Harry yeah. Potters and that
no,
kind of thing.
No, I'm not into all that abracadabra shit, hocus pocus, all that kind of stuff. But I am into, like, mafia stuff, and it's not because of, you know, my upbringing or anything. But so don't come at me with that either. But, yeah, man, I really enjoy this book. I did not expect Christian Ward to, like, write a book like this, but I'm glad he did because this is really good. Is it only, like, a 4-issue run? Is that what it's supposed to be? Or
I don't know. I hope not. I hope it goes longer than that. Seems like there's a longer tale to tell with this if you're telling the whole story of Capone. And then you have that little story at the end, which I still don't understand what it is yet. That seems to, like, hint at more. That little tiny extra, like, 3 pages or so, or 4 pages.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's modern. And I guess Ward did all of that. Ward illustrated it, colored it, wrote it, the whole works. That was all Ward, that little extra story.
Yeah, that makes sense because there's a lot of pinks in there. And if you read, like, Invisible Kingdom, that's his stuff right there, totally.
Yeah, totally.
He likes that hot pink, that Bret Hart stuff, that pink highlighter stuff. Yeah. But I definitely recommend picking up this book. Dark Horse has me reading 4 titles, 2 of them by Jeff Lemire, 1 by Cullen Bunn, and now 1 by
Christian Ward.
Christian Ward.
Well, look at this team, man. You also have Elahuf on the letters. You have Cunniff on the coloring. Those are both people we talk about a lot when we're talking about the indie comics that do great work. So, yeah, this is a top-notch team. All right, we're going to move on to the next one. Comic number 3 for the day is Mountain Head number 1. Abraham Stubbs and his father Noah roam America in a nomadic existence, convinced they are being pursued by sinister government forces. Noah has them living off the grid, burgling houses to survive elsewhere. On Mount Rector, the lone survivor of a climbing expedition staggers homeward covered in blood. Both are on an inevitable collision with the picturesque Canadian resort town of Byretch. Canadian listeners, send me a tweet because I think I probably blew that. Written by John Lees. Art and cover by Ryan Lee. Colored by Doug Garbark. Lettered by Sean Lee. Published by IDW. Mountainhead.
What did you say the mountain's name was?
It's in the town of Briarech. Mount Rector.
Okay.
What did I say, Mount Rectum?
I thought you said Mount Rectum. Rectum, he damn near killed him. Anyways, this book right here is probably the best book of the week. Absolutely, hands down. Psychological thriller. This book is full of a lot of twists. In the beginning, you see, what's his name again? Abraham?
Yeah.
He's with his dad, and they're doing some, Robin Hood stuff where they steal from the rich and they're gonna just go, but they're gonna pawn it to to make a living, whatever. And there's a lot of dad's definitely, he kind of has this hippie vibes where he's anti capitalism, anti consumerism, that type of feel. But there's so many twists. You think you have it figured out, and that's what's happening. And then there's this curveball thrown to you. And then I'll let you go from there, Andrew. I don't want to, because I could just give away the whole story. We got to get you.
Yeah. I told you I started reading and got through it, and I about halfway, and I flipped back to the beginning again just to make sure Sabella wasn't listed somewhere, as a consultant or something. Because that Sabella feel like. This was a mind trip. I immediately thought House of Muck because I don't know what's going on. Like you said, it starts one way and then it goes somewhere else and then it goes somewhere else. And I don't know who to believe in this story anymore.
Right.
The only person you can trust, it seems like, is Abraham. And Abraham is all messed up because he's received so many messages and he doesn't know what the truth is anymore. He knows what he thinks is the truth, but he doesn't know the truth.
Well, I think we should be able to spoil something because it's been 2 weeks. So what had happened was Abraham, when him and his dad were caught by the police because there was an old guy, they robbed the house and the old guy was sitting there on his oxygen tank and he was like, got these mofos. He didn't say that, but that's the look he had on his face and stuff. And the cops had the guns drawn. Well, Abraham went, he was taken into custody. And then we find out what, Andrew?
We find out that Abraham was supposedly abducted by this man who claimed to be his father, who's not his father. And he's been missing for 10 years.
Yes.
So Abraham is not guilty of any of the crime, so he's set free. But now he has to be reunited with this family he doesn't know. And he has to accept that this person who he's believed is his father and everything this person's told him is a lie. But his father has spent years telling him that they were going to do that to him. That if they ever got him, they would take him away and deprogram him and erase everything his father taught him.
Right.
So the kid trusts no one. He doesn't trust if we are to assume this is his family, he doesn't trust the social worker. He doesn't trust his new sister. And so at first you're thinking, well, the kid's just messed up. But then some weird things are happening in this town he's gone to, too, huh? So you start wondering if maybe I don't trust these parents either. So,
and what we should go to is at the beginning of the story that they're telling, like crazy things. Basically, the synopsis is crazy things happen on the mountain.
Yeah.
And he finds out firsthand when he sees somebody come through the woods. Was he buck ass naked?
Yeah, I think so. He might have been in his underwear, but that'd be about it.
Right. So this is the first impression to this kid after he finds out that his dad's not his dad. Then he goes to meet his real family. Then he sees this dude butt ass naked walking through the bushes with some blood on him and stuff. And everybody's like, oh, okay, it's just a normal day here in Fargo.
Pretty much.
Yeah, it's this book is wild. And it's a horror book, and for me, it's a horror book because Abraham is dealing with the biggest horror that anyone could ever handle. Is he doesn't know who the hell he is.
Yeah,
he doesn't. And that's if you think about that, That would be scary as hell, man.
And the one person you've trusted for the past so many years of your life may have been lying to you all this time.
Yeah.
So who do you trust now? You know, so, wow, yeah. And the dad is a little crazy. You know, that's why I kind of lean towards, well, maybe the dad was lying to him. Because the dad has this whole speech in this one part where they're in the hotel where he can't sleep. And that was some pretty crazy stuff. Definitely some paranoia. A lot of paranoia in this book. And it's drawn in a way that is just so interesting. Like the horror. Like that guy coming out of the forest. He's freaky looking as hell.
Yeah.
When the father shoots himself. That's a pretty freaky scene. There's this huge projectile vomit. Why do comic books have to, like, when they draw the vomit, it's like, you know, a cyclops, like, I-beam, man, that thing just is like, whoosh, it takes over the whole page. But there's this big vomit scene. And then there's just some pretty creepy-looking images at the beginning, and the cover's creepy. So, yeah, it's definitely a horror book. There's no doubt about that.
Right. It's a wild ride. And I'm wondering, because I mentioned to you before we recorded that there's a guy standing in his underwear and stuff. Is that Abraham? And if you read this book and whatnot, you could probably hit us up on Twitter and stuff and let us know what you think. Is that Abraham? Like, is this the 4-issue run? Is he telling his story as an adult living on the mountain because of all this stuff happened?
Yeah. You know, I believed that until I read the solicit. And then the solicit says, a lone survivor of a climbing expedition staggers homeward. I wonder if that's the guy that staggers out of the woods or later in the comic. Like, that was the first appearance of him. Because they look a little similar as I'm looking at him.
Oh, boy. You just ruined it for me.
I'm sorry, man.
Edit it out.
No. Keep it. Because I believed it, too. But as I look at it, I was, like, looking at it, and I'm like, maybe.
I should have probably listened to you read the solicit. Because I kind of, like, I move around a little bit before.
I don't read the solicits until we do the show. So they always give me something. But you know what? I missed the guy down there at the bottom the first time through. We talked about it, and that's my only beef about this comic.
No, there's one other beef.
The text is very small. Yes. And I don't know if I'm just old and I can't see, which is a good possibility. But don't forget us old guys who read comics, too.
Right. And that's what I was thinking, too, because when I read it, I was like, damn, I'm having a hard time reading this. I wonder if Andrew's having a hard time reading this because he's first older to point out stuff. Well, I wasn't going to say that, Andrew, but I was like, man, this is getting, you know, when I read it, okay, I read it on Comixology the first time, and the text was fine on Comixology, but when I got it, the printed form in my hand, I was like, holy crap. I don't need glasses for seeing, you know, reading, but I was questioning that then.
Yeah.
It's really small.
It is small. And I understand you're trying to show us more of the art, which is always awesome.
Yeah.
But that was a little tough for the old guys. So if there's any other old guys out there that had that problem, send us a little tweet so we don't feel so old or so blind. We know we're not the only one.
And don't tweet at us. Tell us we need to eat more carrots either, okay?
Or better glasses.
Hey, I only wear glasses to, like, see far away.
Yeah, I wear them. I'm old. But yeah, good book. I'm with you. It's probably the best of the week. Sorry I kind of ruined your theory. It still could be. I could be wrong. But
no, I think I'm wrong.
But that's it for our comics this week. No Kickstarters as of yet, but we have a few other books we're going to jump into next week. And so till next week, I guess it's time for us to get into the second half of our show. For you newbies, get ready, nerds, where it's going to wrestle. Do we make him introduce himself to the new listeners?
Okay. So, if you're a new listener, I'm Joey Bag of Donuts, a.k.a. Elio Del Nerdo.
So much enthusiasm there. Yeah. Did we wake you up?
No, I wasn't sleeping.
No, he's adjusting to that $7,000 I had put in his mouth with the braces. Did you see him show Andrew?
No. Not taking any bumps for a while, huh?
No, I already been out on the trampoline doing some You know, some Rolling Thunder, some some monkey flips, and some...
You're about to get that five-star flash splash once we're done.
Get some sunset flips.
You can get color a lot easier, man. And all of a sudden, blood coming out of your mouth.
You see, he turns 13 tomorrow.
Wow, 13.
Yeah.
There you go.
About to grow some hair on his chest. Now look at him.
Well, happy birthday in advance. And did you enjoy your break too? Did you watch? You probably didn't take a break. You probably still watched a ton of wrestling, didn't you?
I watched the ones that I was supposed to.
That I was supposed to. Don't make it sound like we gave you homework.
No, and AEW. I missed watching MLW for a little bit. Like, I wanted to watch it, but homework. I didn't know that he watched it.
Who watched it?
You did.
I didn't watch it. Andrew watched it.
Well, I was waiting for you to watch it.
You're adjusting going back to school. This was the first week of school, so he's had to get up at like 5:30 in the morning.
No late night wrestling viewing, huh?
No. No.
All right. Well, it's good to have you back. So, everybody, this is the wrestling portion of our show where we get into indie wrestling and we talk about what's going on in the independent scene. We start the show off right here with just kind of a round the horn, running the rope style. We're going to kind of hit some of the promotions we really like. Because there's so much going on. If you don't know, if you're not involved in wrestling right now, wrestling is changing at lightning speed. Everybody's making money. Everybody's getting signed up. Nobody's really a free agent anymore. There's just so much wrestling and it's exciting. So we'll go ahead and kick this off. Fred, you want to take the first one? Impact.
For Impact Wrestling, Taya Valkyrie is the longest reigning champ in Impact history. Women's champ, that is. Or is it?
I think it's women's champ. Yeah, knockout champ.
And we're starting to notice that she's probably going to feud with Tennille Dashwood, which is going to be good entertainment for us. That's going to be an excellent match. Tennille was just in AEW, actually, which caught us by surprise because we didn't know that she was allowed to. But good for her. She needs to be on TV. And then, Joe, you have...
AAA.
Oh, yeah. AAA has recently announced that officially them and Impact have a working deal. Like, they've always, worked together, but not... It's never been official. And they have a new pay-per-view in New York on September 15th.
Nice. Then I'll take MLW. MLW has a big pay-per-view coming up this weekend. Some of the things on the card is really cool is we're going to see the Von Erichs and Filthy Tom Lawler and Low-Ki versus Contra. But what's so cool about it is Kevin Von Erich was going to be in their corner. One of the original Von Erichs will be there in Dallas to wrestle. That's pretty cool. Other matches, we have the Hart Foundation versus the Dynasty. Mance Warner's taking on Jimmy Havoc. Austin Aries is going to make his debut against Pillman. We have some luchador stuff. We have the La Parks versus Septimo Dragon and Magnus. And where was another one? Oh, Gringo Loco, Airwolf versus Injustice's Myron Reed and Coco Brazil. Some of the ones I saw that I liked were right there. So that's pretty good. MLW is still killing it. They had a lot of interesting things on the show. I like the way Zenshi is being used. So they're building him up to be a star on this thing. And let's see. Oh, New Japan, Fred.
Okay, New Japan is considering adding a UK dojo, and maybe it's because Royal Quest was just taped there with, in England, in London, actually, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, so, and that's huge. And speaking of Royal Quest, next week we will have some coverage of that pay-per-view on the episode, next week's episode.
Yep, get a chance to watch it. It takes a while to get onto our subscription versus having to pay for the pay-per-view. So, got to save that money. Go ahead, Joey.
All right, so I'm covering Ring of Honor, which is not everybody's favorite. but, you know, I got last picks, but... Marty Scurll's contract is up in November, which that's amazing, because I don't know when Full Gear is, but Maybe that's somewhere around there. And then the six-man titles. The Lifeblood beat Villain Enterprises for the six-man titles on Honor for All.
Ooh, so the belts are off of Amarty. That's not a coincidence. Yeah, for sure. All right, so then finally, normally we do AEW right here, but we're going to save AEW for our big topic at the end. So I'm just going to hit what's called Rise Promotion. Rise is a smaller promotion. A lot of women start there, but they also have a men's division. And I got to watch a match between Priscilla Kelly and Jake Atlas, that was outstanding as far as a intergender match goes. They really did a good, solid, long match. And I was telling Fred, I think it was better than Sammy and Tessa. But that's just me. Check it out. It's free on YouTube right now. If not, you can always get their subscription. It's $2.99 for you to see their stuff, which is a pretty, you know, and you get other promotions. You don't just get Rise. So something to look into. But yeah, I would check it out.
Wait, what's $2.99?
Their promotion. It's called, give me 1 second. It's called Rise Ascent. And that gives you access. Now, nothing's live. It's kind of like they put it on a few days later.
Uh-huh.
But it's $2.99, so you get stuff from Rise. You get AAW Pro, Angel Gate, Bar Wrestling, BEW, Title Match Network, Wrestle Pro, XWA. So all of those for $2.99 a month.
So $3 a month.
Yeah.
Wow. So,
but they also, that particular match is on YouTube. They released it because of due to popularity. And so that was their pay-per-view that was this weekend, I think Sunday. So really cool. Just another we'll try to highlight every now and then something else that we watched. You know, you have GCW, you have things like that. Like GCW this weekend is going to do a curtain call for Janela, because Janela's going to be leaving to become full-time AEW. So that'll be kind of cool. I might look into that. We'll see what it costs.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go ahead and segue into AEW, because that was the big pay-per-view of the weekend. We had AEW's All Out. It was the big pay-per-view that we've been waiting for a long time. You guys watched it. 50 bones, though. Did you get your money's worth, or did you feel it was pretty high?
I think that we did get our money's worth. I enjoyed it a lot. There was a surprise in a surprise appearance by two men.
Yep.
Which was cool. And it wasn't Bill Clinton, even though he looked like Bill Clinton for a little bit. But yeah, I think we did. I mean, in the past, like buying WWE pay-per-views and stuff in the past before WWE had the network, that's what you would have to pay. And many times I was let down. I wasn't necessarily let down by anything in this pay-per-view. I thought it was all done well, and there was a lot of storytelling and setup for future matches to occur.
Yeah, I agree. Joey, what'd you think?
No, I thought it was amazing, as usual. Actually, my mom watched a couple of the matches, and she used to watch like just the entrances and the story of like WWF back in the day. Like, uh-huh. She was a kid, and she thought it was crazy. She seen the hardcore match and the ladder match.
Oh, good ones.
She loved it, and she was scared.
She actually told Joe to rewind off the ladder with Pentagon.
Uh-huh.
When he did the flip through the table with
the Canadian destroyer. Thing, you know?
And she made him like rewind it so she could see it again. But yeah, she'll yell at the kids for being on the trampoline doing the same stuff to each other.
The same stuff. It's okay to watch it, but not her kids.
And then she also got really scared when Havoc had the thumbtacks in her mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a trip.
Yeah,
that was a great match. All that was a great match. I thought $50 was worth it, and I'm kind of excited they announced that they're only going to do those big pay-per-views like once every couple months or so, or something. So they're going to spread it out. So they're not going to ask $50 from you every month. So right. It's not like it's going to break us, you know. So, you know, every, you know, few months, maybe 2 or 3 months, maybe 4 a year is what they're talking about. So I can do that. That's about what you spend on WWE if you put your $9.99 times 12, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, I know you get more, but they're building. They're building a Fed. So, but overall, I enjoyed it. That Women's Battle Royal, you brought that up because we got Tennille. No one expected her because she was signed with someone else. What did you guys think of that Battle Royal? I thought it was cool because it really introduced some feuds. And it set up an interesting matchup for the title on the first TNT show.
I think, okay, with the feuds, I think the Bea Priestley and, what's her name?
Baker?
Who?
Nyla or Baker?
Britt Baker?
Yeah.
I could watch that all the time. Like, there's so much great heel work in that. Even, like, was it Priestley was on the floor and she just pulled her over the ropes? Like, yeah. And I was like, oh man, that's awesome heel move right there. I really like it, man. I think Bea Priestley could be like the best heel in that company. I mean, other than possibly MJF, yeah. But I think she's right there. Like, she's doing everything the right way. Now for the championship match, I think you have to have Rio in there because she could, you know, the stuff that Nyla Rose mm-hmm. might not be really good at, like, Rio could, you know, make it look good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if you watched it, you saw, like, Nyla Rose had a few botches.
Yeah.
But someone like Rio, she's going to make her look good. So I think that's going to be a great match, actually.
I think that the only problem I have with the Battle Royal is the entrances are kind of underwhelming. Like, you know, like,
yeah.
You when they all come out together and you just, like, sit there and you're like, oh, there she is.
Yeah, they didn't get their own music, you mean?
Yeah, like, it's not special, like, real yeah. special. But then I feel like some of them, like, Fabi Apache was kind of, like, under, like, they didn't use her. She just got thrown over like it was too easy.
Mm-hmm.
There he goes, protecting Triple A.
Triple A. That's okay. I get you. I agree. I think, though, what it was is they protected the actual AEW girls.
Yes.
They got a lot of shine. And the other girls who are not really signed yet, like, you know, I heard that the crowd booed when Tennille and Ivanice, is that how you say it?
Ivanice. They went out.
They both, and the crowd booed because the crowd wanted more from them, but I get it. They're not really signed yet, especially Tennille. She signed for Impact. And man, Mercedes got that pop. Holy smoke, they need to sign her. I mean, that was a big pop. The crowd went pretty crazy for her. Mm-hmm. But you had a little Allie Brandy, so that sets that up. That will continue probably. I guess Bea Priestley and Sadie Gibbs had some real heat going down backstage, so we might see that turn into an angle.
It's probably because of Will Ospreay, but
yeah. But if they're smart, they turn it into an angle. And I agree with you, Fred. Riho being small allows Nyla to kind of toss her around and look mm-hmm. strong and powerful, and sets her up as this powerful champion that's going to be hard to take down.
Yeah, she's going to make her look good because, I mean, she was it the first match they were in there together?
Yeah, it was also the other little one, the one that Jim Ross said, that's a sad wrestling face. I don't remember her name. The little one that looks like she's out of, like, The Last Airbender or something.
Suka something.
Yeah.
Yuka Saki.
Yeah, Yuka Saki, whatever. Yeah, her. They made her look powerful in that match. Like, they made up for, like, the spots that she could have botched, you know. They prevented it, so they made her look powerful, and I think she's going to do the job for her.
Makes sense.
So you think Nyla's winning?
I think so.
Yeah,
I think it's a done deal. And she'll keep it for a little while, because look, they have their other main women in feuds, so that allows Nyla to keep it for a while.
Right, because you don't need Bea Priestley or Britt Baker to have a title on them. They're both going to look sweet no matter what because they have awesome storytelling there. And even, like, Brandy and
Allie,
Allie, that too has a good storyline going. That's the
thing. You mix awesome Kong into that. Yeah, that's going to be a lot.
Yeah, and that's what I like about it is that we're actually getting good storytelling, not just like, you know, you turn on the TV and something new has happened. You're like, wait, they were just feuding with them. How come they're not continuing it? It hasn't ended. AEW's doing it right.
Yeah, they're building some feuds in the mid card. Yes. It's not just about the championship. With the Fed that shall not be named, it's just about the championship. So you got to build up so that when it's time to move those girls into the championship picture, you're invested in them as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, very cool. So you mentioned, Joey, about your mom loving that hardcore stuff.
No, she didn't like it, but she wanted to see what happened.
Okay, let's put this out there. See, okay, Danielle loves Jackass, okay?
Ah.
She loves dumb shit. I mean, there's a reason why she's with me, okay? So that just goes to show, like, you know, her taste preferences.
Yeah. There you go. Well, go in there. What are these hardcore guys going to do on TNT? Are they going to get neutered? I mean, are they just going to seem so bland? Because it's not like they're, like, buff or anything.
The thing I heard is that it's going to be TV-14, so they'll be able to do more things than WWE.
Okay.
So TV-14, they could probably even show blood and things on TV-14, I would assume, because, I mean, nowadays, watching TV shows that are rated that, I'm like, whoa, that's pretty, you know. It's not like when I was a kid, you know, where it was like... Yeah. You know, the rating systems, now things are, they show a lot more things for those ratings.
So like kendo sticks and tables, but yeah, not tacks and staple guns.
I don't think we're
going to
get like barbed wire or anything like that, but yeah. We're going to get a lot of tables and, you know, things like that. Yeah.
Kendo sticks, chairs.
Yeah, we're not going to get like cheese graters.
Yeah, none of the crazy
staple guns. Oh, what's going to happen with the staple gun?
It's going to be a pay-per-view special, probably, just for his pay-per-views. Well, Havoc can wrestle. I'll give him credit. Havoc can wrestle. Darby can wrestle. I've seen him. I've never seen Janela straight wrestle. I'm going to assume he can, but I've never seen him straight wrestle.
He can take bumps.
I think he can sell it.
Yeah, there you go. So he can make some interesting things, but I just thought about that. Now, you mentioned, we can go ahead and say their name, Santana and Ortiz, who cannot go by LAX anymore. Is that your pick to win the tag team tourney?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, they made an entrance and took out those other two. So yeah, I would think that that's their statement. They win it. They get the belts on them. I don't see anyone else doing it, but it's a really deep tag division actually. So
yeah,
it's extremely deep, but I think you need to take a break from the Bucks and the Lucha Bros.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you don't put the belt on the Lucha Brothers, for sure. I think they are not getting the belt. Do you go with the Young Bucks, who kind of run the company, and everyone will whine about that? Or like I say, you put it on whatever the hell they're going to be called, LAX.
What did they call them in the pay-per-view? They called them the Puerto Ricans, you said.
They said Santana and Ortiz. They said their names.
No, he's talking about Boricuas.
Yeah, oh, Boricuas. That's just calling them. They also said that about the women that were Puerto Rican in that match.
Puerto Rican.
Yeah. So the Boricuas. Who knows what they end up being called? Maybe they just get called their names. Sometimes that happens for a while because everyone knows them as that. But yeah, I think they're who you put the belts on to. I agree. The other teams are good, but I don't think, like, I would not put it on those goofy dudes that used to be the Smash Brothers. They haven't worked for me yet. Like, I'm not enjoying them. That would be one of my few knocks. I'm not enjoying their whole weird
story.
Their weird bondage thing.
Yeah.
it's kind of weird because the one dude's like a fat white luchador dude, and the other dude's a Viking.
Yeah.
Is he white?
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
He's pretty pale.
And then they're like, what are they called? Henchmen or something? Their masks are kind of like cheesy.
Yeah.
They're not like It doesn't make sense.
They're not one of my favorites. I like The Best Friends better. I like Private Party better. SCU better.
SCU.
Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus. Yeah, I could go on and on. I pretty much like everybody better
than
them.
And Helico and Jack Evans.
Yeah, they're amazing. What is it called? The Jurassic Express?
Is that what they're called?
Yeah.
Nice.
Who calls them that?
That's what it said. It said Jurassic Express when they entered.
Sounds like a ride.
Huh. I don't know. We'll have to let that one grow on me. But
that
they're over.
Like
holy
stress.
Shit. Are they over?
The Viking Experience.
They might have done it on purpose. It might be a dig.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm excited. I mean, there is nobody has a tag team division like that right now. That's the best tag team division. And if they're able to add something like the Revival to that, whoo, hell of a division.
Yeah. Or what's the Marco Strong?
Marco Stunt.
If his partner comes, who is another little fella like him,
it's his brother.
They're sweet.
Mm.
It's Marco
Interesting.
And something Stunt.
Interesting.
Or Stunt Bros. Something.
Oh yeah, Marco Stunt. Yeah, Stunt Bro.
And let's assume maybe there's a deal with Impact. And the reason I say that is Impact is working with AAA. AAA works with AEW. Tennille showed up. Maybe we're getting closer to that. If they can bring a few teams that they have, whoa.
That's a lot of teams.
That's a lot of teams. And they only have to just show up once or twice, you know what I mean, just to make things interesting.
That includes the Rascals.
Yep, the Rascals. I like the Rascals. And all those women. So.
You seen the biggest entrance of the night? You know, so it's the end of the tag team title match. The lights go out. Everybody's like, it's CM Punk, but everybody that really watches it knows it's not CM Punk. But it's the best in the world. Lights go on. Orange Cassidy.
There you go.
Yeah.
Do you think they're in the mix against like SCU for some three-man tag team action there?
Well, yeah.
With the Best Friends? So give me the lowdown. How are they connected to the Best Friends? Or how is he connected to the Best Friends?
They've wrestled together. Like in all different places.
Yeah, like beyond. I think Chuck Taylor is super good friends with him, actually, in real life. Although wrestling is real. but they're like really good friends. And I've seen them wrestle actually against each other in Beyond Wrestling, which takes place in Massachusetts. So,
One match, Orange Cassidy brought some extra sunglasses. And it's like the sunglasses make, like it takes over their mind. So he put it on the Best Friends. The Best Friends turn into Orange Cassidy's.
Ah, so they went slow. See, I've never seen that, but I have heard of when if you knock the glasses off Orange Cassidy, he speeds up.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it, but I've heard that.
That's what they see.
So pretty cool. Yeah. Very cool. Yeah, I'm excited. I think they'll find a way to fit him in really well. So yeah, Orange Cassidy. Okay, Jericho. Right choice, wrong choice.
Absolutely.
Should he be the champ?
It's right. It's a right choice.
Yeah. I mean, he's held titles everywhere. Japan, Mexico, WWE, WCW.
Top 10 wrestlers?
Might be top 5 wrestler in the world of all time, possibly.
We'll say 10, but
okay,
just so you know.
Whatever.
And he's such a promo guy that he loses the belt, and he gets that over.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
He's hilarious.
He does it for the bubbly.
He does it for the bubbly. That thing has been everywhere.
Yeah. They have t-shirts now.
I saw a call in an Oakland A's baseball game. The announcers said it.
Oh, wow.
In a real baseball game. They worked it into their broadcast. It's at mainstream. You know what I mean?
It's Chris Jericho. Drink it in, baby.
Yeah. So he is definitely the right guy. I know some people wanted us. AEW's new. It's supposed to be focusing on new people. But Paige just wasn't ready to be the face, I don't think.
Yeah.
No. Jericho is like, okay, people might call him fat and stuff, but his core and the way that he takes care of his body, I feel like he does a lot of yoga now. That's why he's like abbed up.
DDP
like
yoga.
Yeah, he's bigger, but he's bigger because, but his core is much stronger. So, like, Dude, when he sucked in his abs and showed everybody like his abs, I was like, oh hell no, because you see him. And I kind of clowned him too, because I was like, oh, he's kind of, you know, he's getting heavy because he let himself go because he left WWE. But then when he did that, I was like, oh no, he's doing yoga and things like that. So yeah. You can tell, like, he's taking care of himself other ways than just lifting.
Yeah, I heard people knock him. I mean, his cardio is incredible. You can't do matches like that if you don't have the cardio and the stamina to do matches like that.
Yeah. And I think, some, like you said, it's like when somebody that just watches WWE and they look at this new promotion, they see Cody Rhodes' name, and then they see that your first ever champion's Chris Jericho.
Yeah, and they want to see what it's all about, because if they see a name like Hangman Page and they don't associate with it, mm-hmm. you're not going to get eyes on you. But with a name like Chris Jericho, people are like, wait, what is this AEW stuff?
Yep.
You know, you immediately get eyes, whether it's like from Japan or Mexico or even the U.S. I mean, yeah. Everybody knows him. I mean, or they know him from music, because he, honestly, his rock, he can fucking rock.
Yeah.
He's that, good. He's really good. He's
just as popular now. Yeah. You're exactly right. So in that same vein, Cody is the right choice to fight him, right? Because you have name on name, recognizable name. To the casual fan, you know who Cody Rhodes is, and right. You know who Chris Jericho is. So it definitely, like, even though Pac is known, he's not known as Pac to the average fan. He was known as Neville. And then Omega's not as known, and even Mox, to an extent, is not known as much as if he was called Ambrose. So Cody's a name.
Yeah, and that's going to be a great card, because you have Cody and Jericho as like your main event, right? But mm-hmm. just under it, you have Moxley versus Omega, which we didn't get at this pay-per-view, which we will get on there when they're going against those other guys.
So
you're going to get more eyes. I think you're going to get more pay-per-view buy-ins. I think a lot of people might not have bought this one as much because of Moxley not being there, because he has a large fan following. But yeah, man, I'm excited for the next one.
You'll probably get Pac against Hangman from the way it looks.
Yeah,
the redo.
Yep. So those are three solid matches, and whatever they do after that.
Will the tournament still be going on then?
Or? No, I think they should have a champion by then.
So does the championship match happen at that pay-per-view?
No, it's happening on TV.
Okay.
They're giving away some stuff on TV because they got to build. Yeah. That was the only thing I was surprised them announcing Cody, because you would think there's going to be between now and then at least one title defense on TV. You would think. But I guess maybe not. So.
Do you think that the Sean Spears match lived up to what it was supposed to be?
I don't think the ending did, but I think it was the best storytelling of the night. I think they really did tell a good story back and forth. I mean, Cody is doing such an amazing job of telling stories. He may not be flipping and doing all the other stuff everyone else is, but I think he's telling good stories. I think they missed an opportunity to make a more interesting ending. Mm-hmm. I think they could have had Arn Anderson lay out Cody and, you know, the Horsemen stick together and they never trust the Rhodes, something like that. They could have had an MJF turn, but I think that they're saving that. Because I think it's happening. I just don't know when. But it wasn't the worst. No. Mm-mm.
Right.
It was okay.
I don't think it like lived up to the expectations, only because you put Cody over.
Mm-hmm.
I think they should have gave it to Sean Spears. But, I mean, maybe on TV that first night on national TV, he goes in and attacks Cody or something.
That's the opening match, Sammy Guevara versus Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
I know that because Guevara's been talking about it a lot. That's his big match. So
maybe Spears shows up.
Maybe. I think they just had a plan for Cody. They knew Cody was going to be the next opponent for Jericho, so they needed to have him win. It just goes with the storyline, and unfortunately the other part got pushed aside.
But where does that leave Spears, though?
Mid-card, I hate to say it, maybe. Because who would you have him fight? Unless you're going to, like, break up the Lucha Brothers.
So he
and maybe have him fight Pentagon or Phoenix.
He fights MJF next.
Maybe, yeah. He's in that MJF, Sammy Guevara. What's the British guy?
Havoc.
No, Sabian.
Oh yeah, Kip Sabian.
He might be in that area. Dustin. Oh, maybe yeah. Him and that'd be an idea. That still keeps the Rhodes feud going. You can have him get in a fight with Dustin.
I think they should put the Lucha Bros separate, but I don't think they should, like, they're brothers, so they can get back together without, like, other teams, like, if the, who's not brother? Oh, like, if Angelico and Jack Evans broke up, they couldn't get back together because they're not, like, family like that.
Yeah.
But they could because they do it all the time. So if they break them apart, they should have them fight each other because they do that all the time. And they're amazing singles competitors also.
And I heard Tony Khan said that one important thing, because they asked him about the fact that he doesn't have any non-white superstars at the top on the men's side. He said, just wait. So I could see Scorpio Sky and Pentagon being those two guys that they kind of push as singles. Those would probably be the guys on the roster, if you ask me, if you're going to push somebody.
Scorpio Sky is amazing.
Like, he could be a singles guy. He could get in the mix. I think so.
Keep SCU as a faction.
Yes, still keep them. You can have a faction and still have, you know, one guy going for the title.
Right, right. Because then they can all have the gold if the other two get the tag titles.
Yep. There you go. I like that. Because I like Scorpio Sky. I agree with you. He could do a great... That'd be someone for Spears to fight, for example. They're about the same level, I would say.
I see it.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah, good stuff. That's kind of it I have on AEW, unless you want... I know you're not an Omega fan, so I didn't give you an Omega question. I thought the match was okay. I thought it was okay. I thought Pac brought it. Considering that match had no hype, no build-up, I think it was pretty good. It definitely wasn't the worst match. So
I think fans were upset because Pac, he won. I think they didn't expect it. But he won by, like, a submission, which was even cooler.
Yeah.
You should know by now, the replacement always wins. And
I didn't know
that. You know that the other two matches they tried to put him in, he wouldn't help. He wouldn't be a part of it because he was going to lose. Wasn't that the case?
I thought it was good. Now Omega is going to, like, snap and be crazy Omega or some shit like
that. So then Omega gets the win over Moxley.
Oof. I don't know. Omega's I still lost, say like, I don't know.
Everything. What?
Omega's lost, like, everything except for that SEMA, was that his name?
Yeah.
He won that match.
Yeah. But, man, you give Moxley his second match, you give him a loss? I don't know. I still say I don't know on that one.
I think he's good enough.
I like that. I like that I don't know.
Or they have another time limit.
Oh. They always have time limits, but they never get up to it.
Yeah, I hope they don't do that. That's cheesy. Not for a pay-per-view. Don't do that. One last question. Okay. It's more an ROH question, Joey.
Mm-hmm.
Does AEW get Marty or Taven or both?
I think they want Marty. I don't think they really want Taven.
You don't think so? Because if they don't... Someone's getting Taven. It's going to be a bidding war between AEW and WWE. WWE will take him just to take him off the board.
They would?
Oh, yeah. They'll sign him and stick him in NXT just so that AEW can't have him.
I think WWE would get him.
What do you think, Fred?
I think they could probably get both, but I see, like, Taven going back to, like, Japan or something because he used to be there. But he does have a connection with WWE with Mike Bennett. Well, Mike Kanellis now, so.
Mike Kanellis. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because they were together in Japan. So, I mean, it could go either way. It might be he would fit with WWE because they, like, you know, they would use him as the funny guy because they'll find out he's funny. He's witty with the microphone.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, like, AEW could use more guys like that, too, because he could be another heel like MJF because he can run his mouth. I mean, he's good at it.
He's good, and he's big time.
And you know they're going to snatch Skrull.
He's a champ. I know we don't like Taven very much, but he is a champ.
Yeah, right.
And that gives him value to say former Impact champion, you know,
Matt Taven. You know they're going to snatch Skrull because, you know, Skrull's like best friends with all of them and they wouldn't let WWE get him.
Don't underestimate the lady, though. He gets to travel with his lady at NXT. Don't underestimate that. That could come into play if the WWE throws all the money at him. It's going to be interesting.
We'll find out in November.
All right. Well, that's our wrestling for this week. Just a quick, fast one, hopefully. I don't know how long it took us. I guess we'll find out. Anything else anyone wanted to add? Or otherwise, I'm going to go ahead and say goodnight for the night.
I think we're good. We'll be more in depth with the wrestling right next week because we'll actually be watching other things. We actually did take 3 weeks off of everything.
Yeah, that's why we focused on AEW because we all know we watched that because we did take a break. And old listeners know we may have flipped the format a little bit, so we're trying some things. But yeah, I think it went pretty good. But as always, follow us, subscribe. Our new home is nerdylegion.com. You can find us still on all your favorite podcast apps. You can also find us on YouTube, Indie Alley. Search that on YouTube. Leave us those glorious 5-star reviews wherever you go. That always makes us happy. That gets Joey a donut. That's all good. You can also chat with us and interact with all of us at our Indie Alley page on Twitter. It's at Indie Alley. You can find myself, Andrew, at Real Comics, R-E-E-L-C-O-M-I-C-S. You can find Fred at Fred Reads Comics. And last of all, don't forget that we have our second show, Nerds from the Underground, and you can find their page at Nerds From. And that's it, folks.
Yeah, so remember, I'm just going to leave you with this one quick little line. Wrestling's real. People are fake.
We out.